Baby love, I think I've been a little too kind. Didn't notice you walking all over my peace of mind. And the shoes I gave you as a present. Putting someone first only works when you're in their top five. And by the way, I'm going out tonight.
What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome back, and welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 3 p.m., and that means it is time to talk money. I've got two great guests. We've got Scott Ellis, an actual millionaire, who is one of the founding members of the Patriotic Millionaires. He's gone to all of the fancy schools. Why tariffs are taxes on the middle class. And we've got, of course, an expert, Dr. Lindsay Owens. She is the executive director of the Groundwork Collaborative. She served as the senior economic policy advisor to one of my favorite senators, Elizabeth Warren. Welcome to you, Lindsay. Welcome to you, Scott. Thanks for making time this afternoon.
It's great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Let's just jump right in. The Trump campaign has tried to blame the Biden administration for the inflation that we've seen. We know that when Joe Biden took office in January of 2021, by June, inflation hit a peak of just a hair under 9%. We just got new inflation reports today. We've got annual inflation at the lowest level it's been since that time at under 2.5%, around 2.3%. So we've seen incredible improvements. But fundamentally, Lindsay, who is responsible for the inflation that we saw that started, at least Trump claims that it started during the Biden administration and that Joe Biden is to blame for the inflation problem?
Yeah, look, so we all just lived through a historic period of inflation. I mean, you know, it's been 40 years since we've seen inflation like that, and it obviously hurt, right? It was tough for many families to keep up with rising costs. And there were a number of reasons for it, right? And there were some, you know, sort of good reasons for it, right? There was, you know, folks had a little bit more money in their pocket at the beginning of the pandemic, thanks to pandemic stimulus. You know, we were dealing with supply chain shortages across the economy coming out of the pandemic. And these were both things that put pressure, upward pressure on prices. But there was another reason why inflation was so bad and so bad for so long. And that is a pretty straightforward one, which is companies not only passed along their rising costs during this period, but they went for more. They gilded the lily, and you know they gouged us. You know, you can call it profiteering, you can call it gouging, whatever you want. But the short version is they exacerbated this problem. They made it much worse than it needed to be, and they made it worse for longer than it needed to be. Luckily, we're really on the other end of this in terms of month over month inflation. But of course, just because inflation comes down doesn't mean prices do. So, you know, we're still dealing with prices, you know, in many cases, you know, 20% higher than they were at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, it's absolutely stunning to me. We are at a time of unprecedented corporate profits. And much of it is related to this. I've heard people use the terms greedflation, shrinkflation, all these. What are they pointing to this idea that actually one of the main drivers of this extended inflationary period is basically corporate greed?
Yeah, I think there are a few different really strong data points we can look at when we're interested in understanding the role of corporate profiteering in driving inflation or greedflation, as some people call it. The first thing we can do is listen to companies and CEOs themselves. On earnings calls with investors throughout this period of high inflation, they've been pretty candid about their pricing strategies and what they've said over and over. And you know, this isn't one or two CEOs. This is across the board in the Fortune 500. What we've heard is that companies have passed along their rising costs and gone for more. They've said, look, inflation has been good for our business. We feel really confident in our ability to pass along our rising costs. Because we were able to do that, we decided to go a little further still. You know, our outlook is good. Margins are increasing. Net pricing is increasing. You know, we heard this over and over. So I think that's a pretty strong data point. I think we can, you know, we can believe what they say when they tell us that they're you know, that they're gouging us, when they tell us they're fleecing us, I think, it, you know, it's okay to just take them at their word. The second thing we can do is we can look at the data. And there are a couple of data points that I think are important here. The first is, you know, profit margins are at historic highs, right? Before the pandemic, profit margins were running at like 13%. You know, now we're at like 20%, right? Mm. And what that tells me, it's not just that profits are high, right? You sell more glasses of lemonade, you're going to bring in more profits. When your profit margins are up, it means that you're selling each glass of lemonade for more profit. So the cost of the paper cup went up, the cost of the sugar went up, the cost of the lemons went up. You covered all of that by passing that along to me, but then you also went further still, and that's how you drove up your margins. And so the fact that margins have really been at record highs during this period, I think, you know, does lend some strong evidence to this corporate profiteering argument. And then the final is we can look at a decompositional analysis of the components of price growth during this period and compare that to the components of price growth during previous periods. And what we find is that, you know, the share of price growth that you can attribute to labor costs is lower than what it typically is. The share of price growth that you can attribute to rising input costs is in many cases lower, but the share of rising prices that you can attribute to profits has gone up considerably and is well above historical norms. And, you know, depending on the period you look at, you know, it's between 30, 40, even 50%, again, depending on the period you look at in this post-pandemic period, of price growth is being driven by corporate profits.
Yeah, we've looked at this from a lot of angles on the show, Dr. Owens, and that piece, right, that the corporate profits aren't showing up the way that you would hope they might, either in additional capital investment, R&D, or in wages. It's just straight profits, and they're being sucked out of companies through a whole bunch of the things that we've discussed on the show, like Scott buybacks. Now, Scott, you have spent some time in corporate America. You did quite well, sir. Is there a chance that CEOs are just stuffing line in their pockets with all this increase in profit margins and the highest profit margins in modern history? Is that what's going on here?
Well, I guess I would say, of course, this is profit maximization. The one comment I would add is not to think about it as the CEO lining their pockets in terms of their salary and their wages, but in their ownership of the company. So it's really about the owners who are the ones that are getting really wealthy. And we need to make sure we remember that although, of course, it is very important and fantastic for individual employees to have ownership in the company, and they do, and I was very proud to have some ownership in Hewlett-Packard, but it was a very small amount compared to the huge amounts owned by a small number of owners who, in general, are very wealthy. And so when we think about who is it that benefits the most from things like this, it's the wealthy owners. When we think about profit equals revenue minus expenses. Profit is what the owners get. What's the biggest expense? Labor. And so the whole system is designed, and especially I think about capitalism and hypercapitalism, we're not just trying to make profit, we're trying to maximize profit. And one of the key things we do is we shift value to the owners and away from the workers. And I think that's a key part of what's happening here.
Yeah, an example of this in a recent piece written for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, our senator, Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, shared that a popular diaper manufacturer reported that it cost them $75 million less to make diapers after the pandemic, and yet they still raised their prices. A case study, an example of this very phenomena that you both are describing. Now, we've talked about the fact that Trump's tax cuts really kind of hypercharged this capitalism. I like the term hypercapitalism, Scott, and helped spur this corporate profiteering and really, again, hypercharge the inflation. Why is that so? Why did the tax cuts help turbocharge inflation? Why did they not help reduce inflation?
I mean, I would say just to, you know, to give you a one sentence answer, look, it's a lot more fun to fleece you if I get to keep more of the winnings, right?
Yes.
And I have to send less of the winnings off to the Treasury Department. So I think, you know, in general, you know, the incentives are towards bringing in more profit when the corporate tax rate is lower. And we obviously saw just a really enormous, drop off in the corporate tax rate after the Trump tax cuts in 2017, taking us from 35% to 21%. Of course, that's assuming companies pay the full 21%, which many do not. But I think, it's absolutely the case that a higher corporate tax rate during this period could have functioned a little bit like a de facto excess profits tax, right? And helped us, pull back on some of the rent sinking and extraction that we saw during this period. But I did want to, I do think the diaper example is so good. And I think folks may not fully appreciate, the diaper example, it's worth just spending a little bit more time on. Initially in the pandemic, you may remember, timber prices were up, right? And wood pulp is the kind of big main ingredient that goes into a diaper, right? That's the absorbent paper that sucks up all the baby pee, right? Keeps the baby dry. When wood pulp prices were high, diaper companies were passing along their rising costs, right? But timber costs fell and wood pulp costs fell. And what Procter & Gamble and Kimberly-Clark, these are the two big diaper manufacturers, they basically have 80% of the market share. They really own all of the brands that you're familiar with, Luvs, Huggies, Pull-Ups, all of them. What they said on their earnings call is, look, I think, customers have gotten used to this higher price point. Even though we're getting a lot of, savings and wiggle room now with timber prices falling, we're just going to stick to these higher prices. We're not going to pass any of that savings back along. And as a result, we're going to be able to take in, considerably higher profits in the quarters to come. And that's basically what they told their shareholders. Meanwhile, for many families, diapers are a pretty big expense, a pretty big line item. It's not exactly something you can go without. I have a one-year-old. Yeah. I know this intimately.
They're a necessity. I'm going to have to hop in. That is Dr. Lindsay Owens. She is the executive director of the Groundwork Collaborative. We're talking about price gouging, basically, and corporate profits and greed. I'm joined also by patriotic millionaire Scott Ellis. The discussion continues after these brief messages. Here on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked. More coming up next. Familiarity breeds contempt. Don't put me in the basement when I want the penthouse.